Chapter 8. Ghost Stories. When the dance was at an end, Ichabod joined a group of older folks who were sitting at one end of the veranda. They were listening to Van Tassel telling long stories about the war. At this time, Sleepy Hollow seemed filled with great men and great historical events. The British and American battle lines had run near it during the war. Just enough time had passed to enable each storyteller to exaggerate his tale and make himself the hero of every event. Each man believed that he himself had had a considerable hand in bringing the war to its happy conclusion. But all these stories were nothing compared to the tales of ghosts and apparitions that followed. Sleepy Hollow is rich in legendary treasures of the kind. Local tales and superstitions thrive best in these sheltered, long-settled regions. In contrast, there is no encouragement for ghosts in most of our modern villages. Our dead scarcely have time to settle in their graves before their surviving friends have moved away from the neighborhood. This is perhaps why we so seldom hear of ghosts except in long-established communities like Sleepy Hollow. Indeed, there was a mysterious illness in the very air that blew from that haunted region. It breathed forth an atmosphere of dreams and fancies that infected all the land. Several people of Sleepy Hollow were spreading their wild and wonderful legends. Many gloomy tales were told about sad cries and screams heard near this great tree or that large rock. Some mention was made also of the Woman in White. She haunted the dark valley at Raven Rock. She was often heard to scream on winter nights before a storm because she had died near that rock in a snowstorm. The chief part of the stories, however, turned upon the favorite ghost of Sleepy Hollow, the Headless Horseman. He had been heard several times of late. He rode through the country and tied his horse each night among the graves in the churchyard. The secluded location of this church seems to have made it a favorite destination for ghosts to visit. It stands on a small hill surrounded by thorn trees and large elms. A gentle slope descends from the church to a silvery sheet of water bordered by high trees. Between these trees, the blue hills of the Hudson River can be seen. In the church's grassy yard, the sunbeams seem to sleep so quietly. One would think that the dead might rest in peace there. On one side of the church extends a small valley. Through this valley, a large brook flows among broken rocks and trunks of fallen trees. Over a deep black part of the stream, not far from the church, there used to be a wooden bridge. The bridge and the road that led to it were thickly shaded by overhanging trees. These cast a gloom about the bridge, even in the daytime. And it produced a fearful darkness at night. This was a favorite haunt of the Headless Horseman. Indeed, it was the place where he was most frequently encountered. One tale was told of old Brower. He strongly did not believe in ghosts. Brower met the horseman returning from his trip into Sleepy Hollow. The horseman forced Brower to get up on the ghost horse behind him. They then galloped over hills and valleys, roads and swamps until they reached the bridge. There, the horseman suddenly turned into a skeleton. This skeleton threw old Brower into the brook and then jumped away over the treetops with a clap of thunder. This story was immediately matched by a doubly fantastic adventure of Brom Bones. Brom made light of the horseman. He called the ghost a foolish jockey. He said that on returning one night from the neighboring village of Sing Sing, he had been overtaken by this midnight rider. Brom claimed to have challenged the ghost to a race. The winner would receive a bowl of punch. And he should have won that punch, too. Daredevil beat the ghost horse all through Sleepy Hollow. But just as they came to the church bridge, the horseman vanished in a flash of fire. All these tales were told in that quiet, serious tone with which men talk in the dark. The expression on the faces of the listeners only now and then was revealed from the glare of a pipe. Nonetheless, it made a deep impression on Ichabod. He repaid them in kind with detailed retellings of tales from his favorite author, Cotton Mather. Then he added many fantastic events that had taken place in his native state of Connecticut. and he finally narrated some of the fearful sights that he had seen on his nightly walks around Sleepy Hollow. The storytelling and the celebration now gradually broke up. The old farmers gathered their families and rode away in their wagons. They were heard for some time rattling along the hollow roads over the distant hills. Some of the young ladies climbed onto cushions behind their favorite young gentleman. The couple's light-hearted laughter, mixed with the clatter of hoofs, echoed along the silent woodlands. They sounded fainter and fainter until they gradually died away, and the recent scene of noise and merriment was all silent and empty. Only Ichabod stayed behind. This was the custom of country lovers. He wanted to have a private chat with the heiress. He was fully convinced that he was now on the high road to success. What passed in Ichabod's interview with Katrina that night, no one exactly knows. Something, however, must have gone wrong. Ichabod, after a very brief time, rushed out looking sad and desperate. Oh, these women! These women! Could that girl have been playing any of her flirty tricks? Was her encouragement of the poor teacher all a mere game to further attract his rival? Heaven only knows. It is enough to describe that Ichabod went forth without looking to the right or left at the scene of rural wealth. He went straight to the stable and climbed up on Gunpowder, but the horse would not move. He was fast asleep. The teacher applied several strong slaps and kicks. Finally, he roused his horse from his sound sleep. Gunpowder had been dreaming of mountains of corn and oats, and whole valleys of his favorite leafy grass and sweet clover. Thus, he was even less cheerful than usual. It was the very witching time of night. Ichabod, heavy-hearted and depressed, made his way homeward. He rode back along the sides of the hills that rise above Tarrytown. But the return trip was much less cheerful than his afternoon ride had been. The hour was as gloomy as his mood. In the dead quiet of midnight, he could even hear the barking of a watchdog from the opposite shore of the Hudson River. But this barking was vague and faint. It only gave an idea of his distance from this faithful companion of man. Now and then, the long-drawn crowing of a rooster would sound far, far off from some farmhouse away among the hills. But it was like a dream sound in Ichabod's ear. No signs of life occurred near him other than sad chirps and croaks from lonely crickets and bullfrogs.